Glad to have Nita with us tonight. I thought there was Nita back there a while ago, but I couldn't be for sure. They're sitting way back in the back, up in the balcony, but we're certainly glad to have Junior and Jenny's daughter with us here tonight. Appreciate Nita and Lauren, the different ones, family coming to be with us. I see the end of the world coming, and realize that, you know, if our children don't hurry and make a change and get in, they're going to be lost. I was talking to Betty the other night, other morning it was, and I said, Betty, if our children don't get in, I said, they'll be lost. I said, you know, preacher's daughter, son, it doesn't make any difference. Christian, you might have sons and daughters, but it doesn't make any difference. When the door is closed, it's closed. Abraham, he had trouble with his children. Jacob had trouble with his children. Job had trouble with his children. And on down and on down. And it is true that if the children don't get in, they'll be left. Now, I don't really believe that God will let my children be lost because I'm praying. I'm calling on the name of Jesus every day, and I believe that he'll hear my prayer. He has in the past, and he's kept them safe thus far. And I believe my prayers will keep them. And I'm sure that he'll do the same for you and your children. I'm praying for your children. But it is a fact that we've got to face the truth. They that sin, the Bible said, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Whether it's your loved ones or my loved ones, or whether it's me or whether it's you, if we sin, we'll die and go to hell. There's no way to get around it. And all the praying that we can do is not going to save those that want to continue on in sin. You say, well, Brother Pike, what good is it for us to pray for our children if it isn't going to save them? God didn't promise you that he would save your children just because you prayed. But he did make you a promise that if you would pray, that he would bring them around to face the truth and see that they thoroughly understood which way they were going so that they could make a definite choice. So they could make a definite choice. That he would not leave them in ignorance and let them just die out there and not half understanding. And he's kept his word to me. He's brought mine around, my loved ones, my dad, my mother, every brother and every sister and every son and every daughter. He's brought them around to a clear understanding and an experience with God. And the cousins, relatives, he's brought them around. Friends and neighbors, he's brought them around. But we have to make our own choice. We have to make our own choice. He said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. And he told them if they went one way, it would be a blessing. He said, if you go the other way, it'll be a curse. So then you can choose the blessing or the curse. You can do like Esau. You can sell your birthright for a morsel of bread and for a little fling in this life. Or you can do like Moses. You can trade the world, the palace, and the empires of life. Sin for a season that you could enjoy. You can trade it for salvation and to suffer the afflictions with the righteous, to inherit all things. The Bible said, he that overcometh, he shall inherit all things. And I want to inherit all things, don't you? I want to inherit all things. You know, when I go to talk about the Word of God, there's hardly any place I know to go to except to the book of Revelation, even though I preach from Genesis to Revelation because all of it is spiritual to me. But when I look and I see the nearness of the end of time, I'm made to know that we're living in the book of Revelation. That everything is coming right up just as God said it would. And, of course, that makes me go back to the book of Revelation. The other night, I believe I got into a message from the book of Revelation on the seventh angel sounding and the voices that were in heaven and how the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Now, I want to comment just a little bit. I might just talk a little bit to you tonight because the other night I preached real hard at you. And I'd like to just comment a little bit, if that's at all possible. When I get started, I get excited. Now, in the seventh verse of the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation, if you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. I'm a little tired tonight, but I still want to comment on this. The 10th chapter, the seventh verse, the book of Revelation. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Now, reading in the 11th chapter, the 15th verse, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. I commented on this the other night, or I preached on it, how that we can misunderstand. It says here in the 10th chapter that when the seventh angel sounds, the mystery of God should be finished. The 10th chapter, where the angel came down from heaven having a rainbow over his head, he set one foot on the land and one on the sea. He uttered his voice as when a lion roareth, and seven thunders uttered the voice. John said, I was about to write, and the voice said, seal up the book, see that you write it not, John, or seal up these things. He said, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God would be finished. I said that in my studies I discovered in the original Greek, or the original rendering of this, it says the secrets of God shall be finished. Now, this angel that was in Revelation 10 lifted his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more. That in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, that the secret of God would be finished. Now we brought out several things concerning the original rendering the other night in our message. And it sheds a lot of light on these thunders and the different things that's happening. But I just want to talk with you just a few minutes tonight, because the messages that I've been preaching as of late, here since we come back from Jeff, I've tried to point out to you in these messages that we are now at that great turn of event. Now, I know that a lot of people don't believe that, and that's all right, because your sovereignty, you can believe what you want to believe, and Brother Pike isn't going to try to do anything about it. I'm just going to tell you the truth, and they that are called to be the elect of God will believe. The wicked will not understand when good cometh, but they that are ordained unto eternal life will believe. Paul preached to them. He shook his raiment, said, your blood be upon your own head. I go to the Gentiles. But he also said, as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed. So as many of you as God saw in his foreknowledge that he before of old ordained unto eternal life, you're going to hear the voice of God and you're going to believe, and the rest will be blinded. The Bible said, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath eyes, let him see what the Father is doing. So then, we are at this time telling you that these great turn of events are taking place. And the seventh angel sounded. He said, now in the seventh verse of the 10th chapter, when the seventh angel sounds, he says in the 15th verse of the 11th chapter, and the seventh angel sounded. We see an immediate follow-up of what he was saying. In one chapter, he says, John, write it not. Wait till the voice of the seventh angel and the secret will be finished. And immediately in the following chapter, it says, and the seventh angel sounded. Now then, I'm inclined to believe this, that if in the 10th chapter he said that the secret will be finished when the seventh angel sounds, then I believe that when the seventh angel sounded, he made known the secret. Amen. Now we might not be able to perceive it, and we might not be able to get a hold of it, but it does say that when the seventh angel sounds, it shall be finished. I believe that when the angel started sounding, that it was finished. For all of a sudden, there was a voice in heaven, and this voice spoke and said, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. He says that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. It was just before this statement that we read in the 11th chapter, this voice that we hear from heaven, just prior to this in the 10th chapter, that we hear the voice saying that in the days of this voice of the seventh angel and this declaration, that he will declare the end of time. And then we see him making the declaration, and we hear the voice saying it is the end of time. Because the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. This is why that we fly the flag that we do tonight at Little Bethlehem. It says on this little flag that we fly that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. We fly the flag because we are a nation and we are a government. We are not just a church body as the world refers to it, but we are a peculiar people, and the Bible said a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. Ye are a nation, he said. So then if we are a nation according to the Bible, then we are God's nation. And we have, as I've said so many times, a king, not only a king, but he is the king of all kings. He is the king of kings. We have a Lord, which is not just the Lord, but he is the Lord of lords. And we have a government, which is God's word, God's laws, which is this Bible. This is our constitution in our government, and we have a house of parliament, which is the church, where we legislate the ways and laws of God, and we have powers, and we have dignitaries, and we have leaders, such as senators and statesmen and governors. We have in the body of Christ kings and rulers. The Bible said concerning the kings, God hath made us kings and priests unto our God. And the Bible said in the book of Revelation, the 24 elders who was kings, rulers of the people, sat upon the throne and throw their crowns down at his feet. And then it tells us that the 12 apostles also shall be kings. For Jesus said, in the day that I rule upon my throne, ye shall also rule, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Whereas the Lord Jesus Christ, being the head of the church, will rule supremely upon his throne, ruling the Gentile church, ruling over the members of his body, the 12 apostles will reign tribe to tribe, ruling over the 12 tribes of Israel, each as an individual head to a tribe, and Christ being the supreme head, our deity over all of it. So we see there's going to be rulers, there's going to be kings, there's going to be dignitaries out there in that great world. So then here in this present world, God has a nation of people. We are a nation that is separate from all other governments, from all other churchism, from all other bodies of activities, because we are a sovereign body of believers that is, we are called the church, the nation of God. He is our king. We are strangers and we are pilgrims to the extent that Jesus teaches that in the high courts of heaven, that the world and the people of the world, many of them will be tried in the high courts of God for treason and for trespassing against the great laws of the great king and against the nation of his people. Today, if America or any other nation transgressed against a nation by breaking the international laws, they would be pulled into the Supreme Courts. But brother, they continually transgress the laws of God, and they continually transgress against the nation of God's people and count it a light thing and make a joke of it, not realizing the seriousness of what they've done, and that someday they'll have to stand in the high courts of God for treason. And the Bible said every transgression that they have made shall receive a just recompense of reward. So then when we think about this, how great and how mighty the people of God are, when we think about the dignitaries and the leaders and the powers and authorities of God and what the sonship of God means, it stirs our soul. And right at this very point in life, or this very place in life, we're made to know that God hath rejected the government of America, that God hath rejected the governments of the world. And we have precisely, step by step, we have it on at least 1,000 tapes or more, many hundreds or thousands of messages maybe that was not recorded, or words or conversation, but at least 1,000 or more tapes, we have it precisely, step by step, outlined as to when the thing started, how that it progressed, and how that it terminated in the change of the government as God rejected the nations and as God changed it over to his people. Thus the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. Now, the world doesn't see this, for I cannot see it. They are not spiritual. They cannot know it, because the Bible said the things of God are spiritually discerned, and the natural man cannot know them because they are foolishness to him. And if so be that I told the dignitaries of Washington tonight, it would be foolishness to them. But brother, I can assure you that it is not foolishness. It has happened according to God's word. It has happened just exactly the way that God said it would happen. And tonight God has brought it to pass to prove the infallibility of his being and his word. Now, all down through the ages, God has promised to do it. And then all of a sudden, God brings us to the time of his actions. Here we read concerning the sounding of the trumpet, the last trumpet. Remember, there was a divine intervention between the sounding of the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet of the seven angels that prepared to sound when John was standing there in heaven and saw these come up before God's throne. These sounded, and the last three of the seven was called the three woes. Between the sixth and the seventh trumpet Whereas the seventh trumpet would be the last woe, between the sixth and the seventh trumpet, there is a divine intervention, and the angel of Revelation 10 steps down from heaven with a rainbow about his head. Here declares that time shall be no more, as he sets one foot on the land and one on the sea. Then he declares that this will happen at the sounding of the last woe, the last trumpet. And so then it says the last woe comes. The last trumpet comes. Remember, the first of these things brought hail mingled with fire and blood. It turned the waters to blood. It turned the locusts loose out of the earth and the smoke of the dark pit. It brought forth all these weird things with hair like women and faces like men, teeth like lions and sting like the adder or like the scorpion. All of these soundings brought forth these horrible things. Most everybody will agree that in the last few years, there has been a complete turning loose of devils and demons into the earth. You see these hippies running around with their long hair. They've got hair like women, but it's a face like a man. They're going from place to place. The motorcycles that the Hell's Angels use and the motorcycle gangs that roar up and down the road. If you look close, you can see what God is speaking of. You say, Brother Pike, you mean that these are the locusts? These things that John saw was devils and demons turned loose upon the earth, and those devils and demons sought human bodies to go into. The sting of the needle, that it was just a trip, as we say, to some of the young people. They did not realize that they were putting something in their veins that was taking their sanity. They didn't understand that they were driving themselves crazy, that they're not taking a trip. They're losing their mind. Little by little, they lose their mind. And after a while, they turn into what you call a vegetable, or some of them turns into freaks or weird things that can never get their sanity back. It is as the stings were, and many other things that we could comment on tonight. But these things we see spiritually as the devils and demons are turned loose and as they inhabit human bodies. And we can watch the spiritual stride of things and see that it has come to just exactly the sounding of the last trumpet, which is the last woe that the Bible speaks of. The last trumpet sounding, the last woe coming, it says at that time that God has finished with the world and finished with what they're doing, and that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. Whereas we've carefully pointed out how that the Bible speaks of the woman putting her foot upon the moon, America being symbolic of that woman, we see her going to the moon at this season. It said that that Satan would make his nest among the stars. We know that when the little thing landed on the moon, they called it the nest. And we know that the moon is among the stars. But we also know that God said, though thou climbest up to heaven, I will cast thee down to hell. Speaking of Satan and the powers of evil. Now you say, Brother Pike, you mean those people going up to the moon, that's Satan? The Bible said the carnal mind is enmity with God, and the carnal mind is death. And the Bible teaches that science is science, falsely so called, the word being knowledge that starts with that which happened with the tree of knowledge and is increased until it has reached up to heaven. Lucifer in human flesh, having reached up into the galaxies, the thing that they call the Voyager, is traveling and has gone a billion miles away from Earth and is passing within 70 or 88,000 miles of the great planet Saturn. Been traveling for something like 3 years. Scientists
Moving on into the heavens. Though thou makest thy nest among the stars, Lucifer, I shall cast thee down to hell. So then he said, thy sins have reached up to heaven. You didn't just stay in the earth with the sin-cursed body of wickedness, but you've climbed up to the heavens. You've climbed up to the heavens. Whereas the Bible says at this time that the red dragon was waiting to devour the man-child, the woman travailing in birth to bring forth, America travailing right now to bring forth her superior leader, her great Superman, or the Antichrist that is to rule the world, which is symbolic of the Christ. Here we see the symbol of the great red dragon, which is communism, or China, the dragon nation, laying right in there, Russia shooting at the moon, all laying right around in there in the heavens, waiting to devour that leader. Like that Chinese killer that came over here when Jimmy was in office, Jimmy being symbolic of the man-child, when we say JC, Jimmy Carter, being symbolic, we saw that killer come over here. He was laying right in there to devour the man-child. Isn't that right? Ready to take over America. Now, here in seeing this, we have spoke of it in the natural sense. Then we went back and we spoke of it in the spiritual sense, in that we brought out what is happening in heaven, and we broke it down to the second heaven, and who is the woman in the second heaven, who she is, and where the second heaven is, and what the red dragon is, and what is happening in the second heaven. We also broke it down as to who the man-child is, and what's taking place with the man-child. We brought it out about the thunders. We brought it out about the different things. As the mind of God spoke through human instrumentality, he carefully brought it out to you here, to where that you could know. Now, because the Bible said you are not children of the darkness, but children of the light. Carnal mindedness is darkness. Paul, turn my people from the carnal mind of darkness to the light of the mind of Christ Jesus. Now, light. When we say light, we're speaking of the enlightenment. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may comprehend the heights, the depths, and the width, and the length. Whereas the Bible teaches that ye are not children of darkness of the carnal mind, but children of light of the mind of understanding, which is the mind of Christ. It says that gross darkness will cover the people, which means intellectual reasoning of education and natural frolic and human desire of the lust of the flesh. But he says in the evening time that shall come to pass there shall be light. That is the revelation, the understanding, the mind of Christ, the rapture of the church. Something shall break through in the evening time. Now, I don't think you will deny that darkness has covered the people. I don't believe you'll deny that gross darkness has come over the people. I think all of us will agree to that, even the law, government, or whatever. It's just one big mess of confusion. Nobody has any control of anything anymore. It's just the satanic power that's having its way. If that is true, then where is the light of the evening time? If the darkness is here, where is the light of the evening time? For if he promised that there would be darkness and that came to pass, then where is the light that he promised in the evening time? It is the mind of Jesus Christ, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. For ye are children of the light. Ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the evening time, which means that all of a sudden, though Satan has wore out the saints, they shall receive their enlightenment and begin to glow. And they shall take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. They shall rise up and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. For the Bible said the kingdoms of this world, not the kingdom of God, for we already have the kingdom of God. But it's by the strength and power and magnificence of that great strength that we can take the kingdoms of this world and set up the millennium government, which we are doing here at Little Bethlehem. Now, not only that, but if ye are children of the light, the Bible said at the midnight cry, they all were asleep, which means all of them were in the evening time darkness. It means that all of them were subject to that evening time darkness, whereas he said gross darkness would put them to sleep. But all of a sudden, the saints of God rose. For the Bible said there is a cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And the saints of God arose. Part of those virgins arose. And they trimmed their lamps and they realized they had the Holy Ghost. They had the Spirit of God. That though the darkness had covered them and they had gone to sleep, yet they had gone to sleep with the Holy Ghost on the inside, with the Spirit of God on the inside of them. And though the world had overcome them, and though the world had overwhelmed them, yet they still had the Spirit of God on the inside. And when the cry of the voice of the revelation of the evening time call began to come, they began to hear, they began to see, they began to believe, they began to be enlightened, and they began to rise, and they began to shine, and they began to be the light of the evening time that would rise as saints of God to take the kingdoms of this world and make them the kingdoms of God. And that is where we're at right now. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. The Bible said, go ye out to meet him. And the Bible said, they arose and they trimmed their lamps and they went out. Then came the foolish virgins, which is this charismatic move. The charismatic move is the foolish virgins. The virgins are rising up and they're saying, our lamps are gone out. Give us of your oil. What is the oil? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. The world has not believed in the Spirit of God. It has not believed in the Holy Ghost. It has mocked the people of God, called them holy rollers, called them all kind of things. But here at the evening time, all of a sudden they are getting afraid because they see the virgins rising up. They see them rising up and they know it's dark around. And they see them getting a different inspiration. Getting a different drive. They're not interested in ball games. And they're not interested in worldly affairs. And they're not wanting to go to the places of this world. Out here in the frolics of fun land and whatever. But they are rising up to do the will of the Heavenly Father. And the virgins that are foolish are beginning to rise up. You say, who are they, Brother Pike? Church people. These all were virgins. Which means that they were people that had been separated from the world to the extent that they are religious, but some of them are only church people and they don't believe in the Holy Ghost. They don't believe in the Spirit of holiness. They don't believe in living holy because they don't have the Holy Spirit in them to compel them to be holy. The Bible said, be holy for I am holy. Paul calls God the Spirit of holiness. No man shall see the Lord without holiness because he is the Spirit of holiness. There is no eternal life except the Spirit of eternal life, which is God. God is the only source of life, and God is the Spirit of holiness. Therefore, without holiness, you don't have any life. You don't have any light. And so then the virgins rising up, all of a sudden you see this charismatic thing. The Baptist, the Methodist, the Pentecostals, the Church of Christ, you see the Assemblies of God, you see the Catholic people, all of them getting together, the Presbyterians, all of them non-denominationals, they're all getting together in this charismatic move. What is it? They're crying for the oil. They're crying for the oil. You say, how do you know they want the oil, Brother Pike? Because I've been in the full gospel businessmen's gathering when a Baptist preacher would stand up and he'd tell the people, he'd say, speak in tongues, speak in tongues, speak in tongues. I thought, how childish, how childish. demand a great, outstanding preacher of many years. But all of a sudden he said he was shook up and he realized that he needed the baptism of the Spirit. And he had them people with powders and paint, had them dresses all ripped down and pants and everything else, standing out there saying, speaking tongues, when the Bible said the Holy Ghost will not dwell in an unclean temple. And here he's calling for them people to speak in tongues, wanting them to believe that if they spoke in tongues, they would have the Holy Ghost. Folks, that's wrong. That's wrong, Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of angels and of men, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So then he said, speak in tongues. And he got frantic almost, trying to get those people to speak in tongues. And those people began to try, the mass of people began to try to speak in tongues. It was a childish sort of a thing. What is it? They are realizing that they need that all. They said it wasn't necessary to speak in tongues. It wasn't necessary to have the Holy Ghost. But now they want that Holy Ghost so bad that they're willing to speak in tongues and do anything to get it. And so they're running from coast to coast. And they've started a charismatic move that wherein they believe that they are getting something from God. You say, Brother Pine, do you believe that they're getting anything? The Bible says that when they asked the virgins for the salt, the virgin said, not so, for we have just enough for our own selves. If we give to you, our light will go out. Or that is to say, we don't have the bowels of compassion that we've had in the past. We don't have the strength of travail to bring forth as Zion did when she brought forth her sons and daughters. We are struggling. We are in the struggle. We are in the stress. It takes everything we've got to hold on ourselves. Therefore, go get your all somewhere else. And the Bible said, when they went to them to buy, to get all of them that had all, the bridegroom took the wise virgins on in and shut to the door. The Bible says that the others returned. The other virgins came back. They came back, no doubt, just like the charismatics are doing, saying, we got it. We got it. We got it. Let us in. Let us in. We're part of it too. But the voice said, it's too late. And the door was closed, and the others were shut in. You say, but Brother Pike, I don't see a closed door, and I don't see people shut out, and I don't see where it's too late. The Bible said, the wicked shall not see when the good cometh. My brother, let me tell you something. Ye are the gates of heaven. Ye are the open door. And Jesus spoke of the people of this world being the gates of hell that would not prevail against the church. But he said, ye everlasting gates, lift up your head that the King of glory may come in. If ye are the bowels of compassion, if ye are the gates of God, if the kingdom of God has been open ever since Calvary, and men have been pressing their way into the kingdom, in that God has translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God, then, my brother, with the ending of the days of the Gentiles, the closing of the door of the days of the Gentiles, it means that the wise virgins have gone in and been sealed in, and that the rest of them cannot get in to the kingdom of God. Now you say, what do you mean, Brother Pine, that they cannot get into the kingdom of God? I want you to listen real close. It means that they cannot be translated into the kingdom of God. Are you listening? Now, you say, why is it that they cannot come in? Because Jesus said, I am the door. And the door was open at Calvary. He gave Peter the keys to the kingdom. The door is seen in the fourth chapter of Revelation at the end of the church ages. And John, as the church is caught up into heaven. Is that right? Then the tribulation period sets in. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. Therefore, if we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are members in particular, if we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, if it is not I that liveth, Paul said, but Christ that liveth within me, and the life I now live, I live by the Son of God, then when the bowels of the everlasting gates of the saints are closed, Zion is travailing no more, it means the end of the days of the Gentile church, and it means that no one will be translated into the Spirit or kingdom by the Spirit of God. It means that they will reject the name of Jesus, that they will confederate in what is called a Trinitarian teaching, and reject the name of Jesus, which is the Doa, to the sheepfold, and they will be as religious as the foolish virgins could ever be, but they cannot find the Doa. The Bible said down in Sodom and Gomorrah that the angels blinded those men's eyes and they wearied themselves to find the Doa. They could not find the Doa. And so then they cannot find the Doa. They cannot find the Doa. Because the Doa is being shut. The Doa is being shut. And more they're rising against the name of Jesus. And the Bible said it shall continue down through the tribulation period until the beast, that is those that are brute beasts made to be taken and burned, the membership of the world, which are beasts, that shall head up in the Superman, which is that great leader of the beast, the great head. The Bible teaches that they will blaspheme the name of Jesus. They will blaspheme the tabernacle of God, whose temple ye are. For ye are the temple or tabernacle of the Holy Ghost. And Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, if this tabernacle be dissolved, we have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hand, which means the body of Jesus in the Spirit. So then it is a true fact that Jesus is the Doa. If the door is closed, then it simply means that others cannot believe their way into the kingdom of God. They cannot get into the kingdom of God, and therefore they are shut out of the kingdom of God. But the wise are sealed in. The wise are already sealed in. And when this great religious revival comes that everybody's looking for, and this great revival of supposed to be signs and wonders and miracles and all of these things, my brother, you're going to find out that God isn't in it. You're going to find out that God isn't in it. You say, what do you think it will be, Brother Pike? All right, listen. The Bible said, and this is altogether separate from the Holy Ghost now, the Holy Spirit. This has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit, but I'm speaking of what Satan is going to do. The Bible said, out of the false prophet's mouth, the dragon and the beast, out of their mouth went three unclean frogs. And the Bible says that these are unclean spirits that go into all the world. They are going into all the world, and the Bible said they are going working miracles that they might gather together all of the world to the great battle of Armageddon. Is that right? Now you say, what do you mean by that? Those people think they're on their way to heaven, but they're on their way to Armageddon. Now you say, Why do you say that, Brother Pike? Because the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And those people don't believe in holiness. They're not teaching holiness. They're not living holy nor practicing holiness. Whereas the Bible said, be holy for I'm holy. Not just holy in spirit, but the Bible said, be holy in body and in spirit. Now, so then, these people think that they're on their way to heaven and they're on their way to hell. And all of the great things that will be taking place among them will only deceive them to lead them farther on into the mind of darkness and into the reprobate mind. When you hear the truth, and if you don't love the truth, and you don't want the truth, God will turn you over to reprobate mind and let you believe anything but the truth. Somebody said, will God let me believe a lie? He'll do more than that. The Bible said he will send you strong delusions and cause you to believe a lie so that you might be damned. Now, because you had not a love for the truth, the Bible teaches God will get disturbed at you and he will send you things to your mind and thoughts to your mind to find fault, to grumble, to feel that you've got the answer, and to do everything that you want to do, feeling that it'd be religiously all right, and cause you to be damned. He will blind you to keep you from finding the truth because he doesn't want it mocked. All right, so then we look at this just a little further. You've got just a few more minutes, and then I'm going to close. We are right at this point living in the things I'm speaking of. The three unclean spirits go out to gather the people together for that great battle. Here, it says the trumpet sounds. The mystery or the secret of God is finished. He declares that time shall be no more. He looks away in heaven. He sees the travail of this woman, which is America right at this time. He sees the travail of this woman. And we spoke of the church. There has to be, as in heaven, so in earth. If there is something going on in heaven, beloved friend, there has to be a natural type of it in the earth. And the only way that you spiritually can understand is that you see and you make the comparison. Therefore, if you have spiritual eyes, you see the things that's going on in the spirit. It is revealed to you. It is revelated to you. For God has revealed these things unto babies, those that are willing to search after them and learn. So then when we see this natural thing concerning America, then we know there's got to be a spiritual parallel somewhere. They're running together. They run together. So then when we see this, we know that the spiritual happening is at hand. That we're right here living in that moment and in that hour. Now, all glory was lifted up to the moon. Glory, for the Bible says, the glory of the Lord hath departed. And Ichabod is wrote over the door. America being a religious nation, when they took glory, old glory they call it, the flag, up to the moon, it signified the rapture of the church. The glory had departed. Even the stripes on the flag signify the stripes upon his body. For our healing and the stars over the woman's head. And when it went away, it signified the rapture of the church. That glory had departed and Ichabod was wrote across the door. And it was way back in the days of Eli when they took the Ark of the Covenant away from Eli. And he was killed and his children were killed. So then it's become a bunch of proselytes. And the Bible said she's become a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. She's not Christians anymore, but she is a cage that's caging up the people, even sending letters out to them, telling them how much tithe that they owe, and going so far as to put in suits against them in the courts and winning the suits for the people to pay the tithe money. She has become a cage of every unclean and hateful bird, which means spirits. For spirits is like an under birds, because they're heavenly creatures. God said, come out of her. Babylon is fallen. I brought it out the other night. We got it on tape. How many multiplied thousands of priests have forsaken the Catholic Church? How many thousands of people have turned against the Catholic Church and walked off and left her because she is fallen. She is fallen. She is fallen. She hath become the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And the Antichrist is on the verge of receiving his just recompense of reward. The Bible said his kingdom was filled with darkness. And they poured out the plagues upon it in the air. You can see some of the plagues right now in this thing just before the tribulation change. You can see the plagues being poured out. Look in the air at the different things. Epidemic this year and an epidemic the next year. And all of the fogs and the different things that's infiltrating the air. And the Bible said his kingdom, the beast's kingdom, was filled with darkness, and he gnawed his tongue. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? Gross darkness shall cover the beast. For they're brute beasts, they're not children of God, and they're beginning to gnaw their tongues for pain even now. The Bible said in that hour there shall be no healing medicines. They won't be able to take shots. They're becoming immune to this. Somebody told me the other day, said, Brother Pike, there's a person that's in real pitiful shape at the hospital. Said they've given her everything they can, and she'd become immune to all of that that can keep off the pain, and now she has nothing to keep off the pain. Said it's very pitiful. So then, I'm saying that those things are coming to pass step by step. The world doesn't see it. The beast doesn't see it, but children of light see it, and they understand it. Even tonight, I spoke of a little of this afternoon. George Jr. coming in to the services, turning his heart toward God and the things of God. I spoke of him having to do with the man child. Him and David runs together, and what George Jr. has to do with it. Coming in, for the Bible said the man child was caught up to the throne. Which means if he is turning his eyes, Rick, the name Ricky means king of all. When that eye of understanding is begin to be enlightened, and when it's turned toward Christ, it is pulled up to religion. It is pulled up to salvation. It is pulled up to the throne. It is drawn up to the throne. Because that shows that at that moment, the man child, which is the many-membered body of Jesus, is being sealed in, being elevated from the second dimension to the third dimension, the second dimension of heaven that I speak of so often here. The red dragon, it means that the days of grace are beginning to be closed out. And it means that with that the red dragon, which is blood life, is beginning to go out of the second heaven, that is out of the presence of God, in the grace, which is heaven, is beginning to lift. And those that are in the spiritual mind continue right on into that third heaven. They are not cut off from grace, but rather they're growing in the knowledge of God and coming into the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the mind of God. And they're moving into that third dimensional mind of life and of heaven and of power. You that understand our teachings on the three minds and the three heavens and the three lives, three dimensions, you know what I'm saying tonight. Some of you don't understand because you've not applied yourself, just like children in school. But some of you do understand because we've been teaching you all this time. So then when we see these things, we realize one thing, and that is that the end of the world is here. When the man child went up, there was war in heaven, and Lucifer went out. And when Lucifer went out, a voice spoke from heaven and said, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for he is among you. I said with the coming of Ronald Reagan, I said he will bring on the end of the world. Isn't that right? We spoke of two sides. One, an old fable, Ronald the Dragon. The other side that had to do with Christ on the religious side. That among the stars returning with the saints for the rapture. But it was no coincidence that we said he would bring the end of the world. And then he stood up when they went to give him this great big cake for a party or something that they set in the wife's lap or almost in her lap there, wherever high it was. He made the statement. He said, I feel like that I'm coming in and the world is going out. Why did he make such a statement? No president's ever made a statement like that. What kind of statement is that? What significance did that have? Why would a man out of a clear blue sky do that? He made it because God had him to make it to confirm what we had said. It is a true fact that he is coming in and the world is going out. It is a true fact. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? Ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. You say, but Brother Pike, if that was so, everything would be different. Why was it so in Peter's day? Peter said, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come when Calvary come. You say, well, that wasn't the end of the world. It was the end of the world. The Bible said in the fullness of time, God would send forth his son and gather all things into Christ. And the Bible said Calvary was the fullness of time. For it said at Calvary, in the fullness of time, he sent forth his son. Said he was born of a woman and made under the law. So then it was the fullness of time, which meant the end of the world. So in Noah's day, it was the same. It was the end of the world. For Peter said, and the old world passed away with water. So then you don't understand. When the world is passing away, you don't understand. You don't understand. They didn't understand until a flood came and took them all away. But beloved children of God, you will understand. You will come to understand and be enlightened. But the wicked shall not understand. So then, just commenting and exhorting you a little bit tonight, I want you to realize that at this turn of event, at this moment, that there is something fantastically, unbelievably taking place. And only the eyes of the spiritual shall behold it. Only the children of God shall see it. To all of the rest, it shall be foolishness. And even when they hear the sound of the trumpet, they shall not prepare themselves to the battle. Though the trumpet is sounding tonight, they will not prepare themselves to the battle. For the Bible said that it will give an uncertain sound. That is, to them it is not a certainty. It is not a conviction. They do not understand. It is uncertain to them. It is an uncertain sound. They don't know whether that's right or whether it isn't right. They don't understand. It is an uncertain thing to them. They can't be sure. They spend their time wondering within themselves. Is it right? Could this be right? Is that foolishness? Where is that coming from? Where did he get to? I don't know about that. And on and on and on. But the children of God, they hear that certain sound. And the Bible said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And that thing hits, and something says, glory to God. Did you hear that? Glory to God. Did you hear that? And they catalog it. And God, from glory to glory, from revelation to revelation, from understanding to understanding, begins to build and enlighten their minds until he has completely, as Paul said, transformated their minds from the mind of the beast realm to the mind of God, the heavenly realm, which is placing Adam back in the garden. Through the same dimensional manner that Lucifer transformated their minds from that state of celestial regine and glory, from the Shekinah down to the level of beast kind. Paul said that the speaking of the ministers of darkness and the angels of evil, he said they also transformed themselves into ministers of light. So then, it is a true fact that it's through the same means and measures of a great knowledge, Satan captivated their spirit and mind and transformated them down to a level of death. God, through the great mind of Christ, after paying for their wrong and their evil through the spilt blood of Calvary, has picked them up, dimensionally speaking, and is transforming them from glory to glory to that heavenly place. And when they are transformated into that region or that dimension, whereas it's called the third heaven, Paul said, I was caught up in it, said, I can't tell whether I was in my body or out of my body. I don't know. My body was still sitting somewhere on a bench, as we would say, or laying in the bed or out here in the field where I was praying. I don't know. I was caught up into the third heavens. That is my spirit. The Bible said the body without the spirit is dead, and to be absent from the body is to be present with God, Paul later said. Therefore ye are absent from the body, Paul said. Ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that ye are in the flesh, you cannot please God. For they that are in the flesh are carnally minded, and to be carnally minded is death. But ye have crossed over the Jordan of the carnal mind into the land of Canaan, into the mind of Jesus Christ, and ye are not in the flesh, and among the thorns and thistles of evil spirit, of that which will devour your substance or your life.
Your spirit has departed from your body. Your body is dead by the body of the Lord Jesus, buried in baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus in a watery grave. And your spirit at death went back to God who gave it. And you are hid as a spiritual being in God, the Spirit, with Christ until the restoring of all things, which is the millennium, or the restoration of your body, the resurrectional coming of Jesus' body, which is your life. At that time when he, your life, shall appear, then your body shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Thessalonians change. But my brothers, spiritually speaking, God hath done the work. It is done, and the world did not see it. And the mystic Christ came after a mystic bodily members called the church. Invisible God came to get an invisible church, translated it into the kingdom, hid it away, and sealed it, and left those that are related to or relative to the bodily beast part down in the elements of the world and down in the earth, down in that dimension on the fleshly side of lust and prowling around in this world, and Lucifer, which is in the bloodstream that was in grace, that was the second heaven, is no longer in grace, though he remains in the bloodstream of the beastly people. And grace is lifted, so Lucifer is not in grace, which means he is not in heaven. The man child went up, the woman gave birth. Lucifer, as grace was lifted, he found himself out of the presence of God. So then he is in the bloodstream called the red dragon, because he is the spirit, the fallen angel that is in the bloodline. A wicked generation, it is called a generation of vipers. That old serpent, the devil, that curled his tail around the third part of the stars and cast them down to the earth, which shows the power of communism and the force of the way that they will overcome a third part of the earth. But still, it shows the power of religious authority that will rise up from the God people in America and bring forth a victory. Whereas not to establish America, but as Washington saw the coming of the divine intervention, apparently Revelation 19, the Lord returning on the white horse with the saints of God after the tribulation period of the wars and troubles, to establish upon the same earth the great government that little Bethlehem is setting up right now. So then when we see the end of the government and we see the fall of the nation, then we see this coming up right here. Now then, something has taken place. You that are spiritual have been able to see it. They that are not spiritual have not seen it. And as Brother Branham said, it will pass right through them and they will not see it. So then it has happened. Just like he said, the songwriter said, and it happened. Just like he said, the righteous saw it and received it. The wicked did not, and the foolish virgins are crying for the oil. But God has risen up to shut to the door. Now, it's a real privilege always for me to come here and talk to you about Jesus. We've done it many multiplied times, hundreds of times. And much of it is on tape. Much of it is just in your heart. They have missed a lot of times when I just talked with you and exhorted you. Before I got into the message, they did not get any of it on tape. And it is gone forever, except in your heart. But whereas they started it when they thought we were preaching, and they have got a lot of that on tape for your edification. Now, I appreciate your kind attention, and I feel that I've said what I should say tonight. And I hope that you understand what I'm saying, because it's late. When I say late, I don't mean late here at the church, according to the time of the clock, but it's late according to the season of life. It's late, real late, much, much later than you could ever think or ever imagine. Don't be like Esau and sell your birthright for a morsel of bread and hate yourself in the end. Folks, eternity is a long, long time. and hell and the lake of fire, Yeshua. Death, Yeshua. And there is no release from that place. The Bible said, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And even though hell is not eternal, for the Bible said, hell shall give up its dead, and the grave shall give up its dead, and the sea shall give up its dead, and hell, and all of this, death shall be cast into the lake of fire. But it doesn't speak about the lake of fire not being eternal. It says eternal flames. So then, you need to think it over. It's a long, long time. And if you miss it, you've missed everything. Missing things in this world, you can start over. But beloved friend, when you miss that, you can't start over. You can't die out of it. If you go to the electric chair for murder, you can die out of it. If you go to a prison, you can serve your time and get out or die out of it. If you take a terrible disease, misery, whatever, if you're put in some kind of a hardship that's tormenting, you can get out of it or die out of it. But when you go to hell, or that is the lake of fire, you don't never start over. When 1,000 years has gone by, you look forward to another 1,000. And when 1,000 has gone by, you look forward to 1,000,000. And when 1,000,000 has gone by, you look forward to 1,000,000,000. And when 1,000,000,000 has gone by, you look forward to the time without end. You understand? No end. No starting over. You say, Brother Pike, it's not true. Bible said the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell and he said, I am tormented in these flames. A lot of people try to speak that away by saying that's hell. I know the definition for the grave is hell. I know Sheol and the names Gehenna are given to those places in the earth. But beloved friend, when the Bible said he was tormented in those flames, it meant in those flames. In the grave, there is no flames. There is no flames. And when the Bible said the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, there is no smoke in the grave. And the Bible said in Revelation, when that angel come down, open that bottomless pit, that the smoke arose out of that bottomless pit in such a way it began to fill the earth. The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night, but they're tormented in the presence of the saints. And Abraham said, when the rich man cried, he said, Abraham, Father Abraham, let Lazarus come down here and dip his finger. Just let him dip his finger in some water and come down here and cool my tongue. Abraham said, I can't do that. Said, I can't do that. Said, in your lifetime, you were in the flesh and you had your good things. Lazarus was in the spirit and he suffered in the flesh, but now he's confident and not tormented. And he said, besides that, there is a great gulf. That is, there's a bottomless pit between the regions of the damned and the regions of the blessed, and said, I can't come down there. If I wanted to get to you, I could not. Neither can they that are down there come up here where we're at. And then he cried out and said, Father Abraham, let somebody go back and preach to my brothers and tell them not to come to this awful place. Now, why would the dead say, go back and preach to my brothers and tell them not to come to this place? They that are dead, the Bible said they know not anything. They are at peace. They know not anything. They couldn't say anything because they are dead. Therefore, being dead, they know not anything, and they would have no reason to tell their brother not to come, because death is a relief from suffering, because the Bible teaches When the scorpions come, men shall seek death, and death shall flee from them. So then he said, tell them not to come to this awful place of torment. He said, they have the prophets. If they won't believe the preachers, if you sent one and he said, I've risen from the dead, they would only laugh him to scorn. He said, they wouldn't believe him. If one come in and said, I have risen from the dead, they would mock him. They would explain it away. They'd say it never happened. Somebody pulled a hoax. They put the coffin in the ground without him. There'd be something. They'd talk their ways out of it. But brother, sister, if you're ordained unto eternal life, you're going to believe. The preacher preaches the gospel, you're going to believe. It ain't going to have to be somebody that rose from the dead. You say, but Brother Pike, if somebody rose from the dead, I'd believe them. Jesus rose from the dead. And tonight he told you. Do you believe him? For the Bible said it shall not be you that speak, but the heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. And we are the body of the Lord Jesus and speak as the oracles of Christ. Do you believe him? I want you to stand with me tonight. Let's sing this little chorus tonight, can we? We sang this chorus, wonderful. I don't know of any way to describe Jesus except to say that he is wonderful. He captivated my attention years ago, and I've never gotten away from him since. I've never wanted to get away from him since. Will you sing it with me? Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. He's the Counselor, Prince of Peace. Mighty God is he. He's calling me and saving me from all sin and strife. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to his name. Oh, he's wonderful. Wonderful Jesus is to me. He's a Counselor and a Prince of Peace. Mighty God is he. He's calling me and saving me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to his name. Oh, he's wonderful. Wonderful Jesus is to me. He's a Counselor and a Prince of Peace. Mighty God is he. He's saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Glory to his name. Don't you love Jesus? Don't you love him? While I'm singing this again, tonight, if you don't know the Lord, if you've never called upon the name of the Lord, if you've never been acquainted with Jesus, I want you to call on his name tonight. Tonight, if you've been acquainted with him and you've gotten off in the shadows, I want you to remember the song, Standing Somewhere in the Shadows, You'll Find Jesus. The Bible said he suffered without the gates. He made his death with those that were without, was buried among those that are without, that he might stand alone in the shadows and be there at the moment you need him. Just remember that Jesus is out there. And if you are in that position, then he wants to help you. Can you sing a verse of that? Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. For standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. I want you to lift your hands up with me now while we pray. I want you to call on the name of Jesus. The Bible said, and it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to call on him tonight. I want you to call on him tonight. If you feel like coming down and praying, I want you to come and pray. But I want you to call on him tonight. While Jesus is listening, while Jesus is waiting, I want you to call on him. Hallelujah. Father, tonight, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, I ask for your blessings. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Oramandarama Shida Bariandaramosandaramataya. Holamasita Ramandariandaramoshandarabasai. Hallelujah. I want you to bless Jesus. Horamandaramandaria Sandaramosai. The name of Jesus tonight. I want you to heal. I want you to forgive. I want you to bless. I want you to set free. Let the anointing that I feel right now break the yoke. Break the yoke. I want you to sing this chorus with me. We're going to take a few minutes and then we're going to let you go. I'm coming home. Coming home. Never, no more to roam. I've wandered far away from God, but now I am coming back home. Can you sing again? I'm coming home, I'm coming home, never more to roam. I've wandered so far away from God, but now I'm coming home. Can you say that in your heart tonight? Can you say that in your heart tonight? Can you? And it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can you in your heart tonight call upon the name of the Lord? Can you do that tonight? Can you say, Lord, I'm coming home. I'm coming home, Lord. I've wandered far away from God, but now I'm coming home. Too long the path of sin I've trod, but now I'm coming home. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. One more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Oh Lord, I'm coming home. I want you to come and stand for just a moment while we sing that again. Coming home.
coming home never more to roam. I've won burn wide thine arms all ago, Lord, I'm coming home.
I want you to lift your hands up with me again now. It's growing late. It's growing late. It's growing late. If you don't hurry, you won't get in. If you don't hurry, you won't get in. It's late. It's growing late. When the shadows start falling and the terrors start coming, it'll be too late. The Bible said, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. Oh, folks, they're going to be horrible. John said, I saw the cities of the nations crumble to the ground. I saw the devastating blows, John said. I saw the islands moved out of their places. And I saw the great towering buildings as they crumble. And the stars fell from heaven. And the heavens rolled back as a scroll. And the darkness struck. And the men cried for the rocks and mountains to fall upon him, of them, to hide him from the face of him that stood upon the throne. And they throwed their riches, their wealth, to the bats. And they cried, and they pleaded. And John said, I looked, and said, the stars fell from heaven, as when a mighty wind shaketh the fig tree, and her unseasonal figs fall to the ground. And I saw them fall. I saw the stars. What a horrible sight. John standing and looking, seeing the stars of heaven fall. Oh, what a horrible time. Don't wait too late. Don't wait too late. So many people have been taken out into eternity. So many people have been taken away. Little Kenny, gone. Ain't been but a few days ago. He was here. I was riding down the road. I said, Betty, I said, it's so bad that a young fella, such a brilliant, bright, sparkling personality, I said, walking along, and then all of a sudden taken away. Had a great personality, likable. But here today, and we're gone tomorrow, to where? Nobody knows but Jesus. Nobody knows but Jesus. When Jesus called Lazarus back, nobody knows how far down the trail he was. Now, nobody knows where off in the distance he was standing or just how far away he had traveled. But he heard the voice when Jesus called him. And tonight, I don't know how far your spirit has gone. Revelation speaks of some people that have not yet known the depths of Satan. Perhaps you've never yet fallen into the depths of Satan. Maybe you've not gone that far. Maybe Satan has woven a web about you and spun a web about you. And maybe he's tripped you, and maybe he's caused you heartaches. And maybe you've sinned against God and done many things wrong. But perhaps you've not yet known the depths of Satan. Oh, the depths, the horror, the sting, the torment, the torture. Don't go that far. Tonight, if you haven't traveled down the trail that far, then let me encourage you. Don't go that way. Lift your hands up again. Let's make a new start tonight. Let's make a new dedication tonight. If you've slipped, let's make a new start. Let's make a new dedication. Let's call on the name of Jesus tonight. If you've slipped, you know you're not gone until you quit. You're not gone until you refuse to hear His voice. You're not gone until you say, no, I won't go with you, Jesus. Oh, it's so beautiful to see hands lifted up. The Bible says, I would that men everywhere, men in Germany, men in Russia, men in China, men in America, men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without being wrathful toward one another, without being filled with wrath and envy and malice. Lift up holy hands without doubting, just in confidence and in faith and simple believing. I would that men would do it everywhere, Jesus said. Tonight, would you do it? You know, I wondered why the Lord wanted men to lift up their hands. I always wondered, Lord, what does it mean for men to lift up their hands? When Moses lifted up his hands, he won the battle. When he grew tired and weary and couldn't hold up his hands, the battle began to turn and Israel began to lose, and they would rush to his side and men would hold his hands up. And the battle would change and Israel would begin to win. And I said, Lord, how can that be? I said, what difference does it make whether a man lifts up his hand or not? I said, how can it be that Moses lifted up his hand and it made that much difference? But he said, son, he was the prophet like unto Jesus. And when men lift up hands, I see the nail-riven hands of Calvary. I'm reminded of the blood stains. For he said, I've engraven thee in the palms of my hands. Though a mother may forsake her babe, I'll never forsake you. I've engraved you in the palms of my hands. And when you lift up those hands, he sees Jesus and he sees Calvary and he sees the blood stains and he's reminded of the atonement. And it thrills his heart that men everywhere remind him of the blood stains and the blood that was spilled at Calvary. Jesus loves you tonight. Oh, how much he loves you, you'll never know. He hath loved you with a love so great that there is no words that can express it. It is so great. Would you tonight offer love to Jesus? Would you tonight consider him? A young man of about 33 years old, had his life ahead of him in the world. He was a man, he was a human being. Satan offered him everything the world could afford. But he said, I'd rather die for the people of Bethlehem. I'm 33 years old, but I'd rather feel the sting of the nails in my hand. I'd rather feel the whip upon my back. I'd rather have the crown of thorns placed upon my head and the pain and the misery of a broken heart. I'd rather be grieved, hurt, tormented and tortured, and die out of the presence of my Heavenly Father, that you might live and that you might continue and that you might be saved and that you might have deliverance. A young man said, I'd rather do that. I'd rather do that. I'd rather experience these things that you might live. For if I don't die, there'll be millions and millions, even billions of people that will perish and be in agony and torment in the flames of hell.
that can't be healed in the time of sickness and sufferings, that can't have a life after this one. I am willing to go to Calvary. I am willing to die. I'm willing to be bruised. I'm willing to be hurt. I'm willing to be tormented. I'm willing to wade through the flames of the fire that the people of little Bethlehem and the people of the world might have a hope and might not have to go to that tormenting place. I'm willing to die out of the presence of my Father and say, why hast thou forsaken me when I have done no wrong? That you might be able to live in his presence. That you may not come to that moment when you have to say, my God, where are you? In the time of my bereavement and death and my departure, and when the darkness is reaching for me and the hideous hands of that world of evil are reaching for me. Oh my God, where are you? Where are you? Jesus said, I'm so fixed it to where he can say, here am I. And oh my brother, sister, when you spun such love, when you refuse, how horrible death will be, how tormenting death will be. God so loved Jesus, being willing to do that, he wouldn't let him be lost. He reached down into the flames of hell and picked him up. With that kind of love, God Almighty said, no, if you're willing to do all of that, I'll never let you be lost. And the Bible said he suffered not his Holy One to see corruption, nor his soul to remain in hell. And he reached down and picked him up and said, you'll live with your people and you'll reign with your people and you'll rejoice with your people because you were willing to pay the price. Otherwise, there would have been no people. You are deserving. And the Bible said everything in heaven and earth said, thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, and everything under the earth cried, thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lamb of God, to receive honor and power and riches and glory and majesty. Thou alone art worthy. Lift your hands up and close your eyes. How thankful I am for Jesus tonight. How grateful I am for Jesus tonight. I'm so grateful my sons and my daughters can be saved. My little Joe and Danny, my Susie, my George Jr., my David, my Dale, my Gracie, my little children, my David, Betty, my wife, my dad, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, my darling friends and loved ones and spiritual brothers and sisters, they can be saved because Jesus cared. Because Jesus cared. Hallelujah. Father, tonight, in the name of Jesus, we call upon your name, Jesus. Knowing tonight that there's salvation in none other name, we do call upon the name of Jesus. For you gave us a promise, and it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You said that in your word, Lord, and we believe it because it is true. Salvation is in your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. You said you'd hear from heaven if we'd confess our sins, that you was just to forgive us our sins. And you'd hear from heaven. Oh, Ramandriya Rabashaya. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, and you said, not a one of them, Father, have I lost. Everyone that you've given me, I will raise him up in the last day. And oh, dear God, tonight, may there not be one be lost. For we are believing for the souls of little Bethlehem. We are believing for the children of these families and loved ones of Little Bethlehem. We are believing for our families and loved ones. Lord, we are believing, Father, for people around the world tonight. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name tonight, trusting and believing, oh God, every step of the way. How wonderful, how glorious, knowing that it is true. Knowing that it is true and the end of the world is near. Hallelujah. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, as John said. Father, we love you tonight. Hallelujah. 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 I want to sing this chorus with you while we praise the Lord. If your body suffers pain and your health you cannot regain, and you have to get along on megafair, oh, just remember in God's word how he fed the little birds. Take your burden to my Lord and leave it there. Go and leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to my Lord and leave it there. For if you'll trust and don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burden to my Lord and leave it there. Sing it again now. Go and leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to my Lord and leave it there. For if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave them there. Hallelujah. You know, before we dismiss, and I'm going to dismiss you in a few minutes, but I want Brother Gerald Whitlow to come up here just a minute. You know, Brother Gerald, he really had a rough time in his life. He really had a rough time in his life, a hard way to go. And he has really been making some good showing here lately. He's been coming in real strong in the things of God. And Bill was telling me, they went over to visit with him and said, Brother Pike, said, you know, Jerry taught with so much sense that he made so much sense. He says some of the greatest things that we've ever had said at men's meeting when he's, you know, when he don't let the devil aggravate him. I love to hear him sing that song, Wading Through Deep Waters Trying to Get Home. Gerald really has waded through some deep waters. He's had a hard, hard road to travel in getting a hold of himself and being able to come in, but he's coming on in. And a lot of you have had a hard way to go. You've had sorrows and heartaches and woes, but you're making it on in. Some through the fire and some through the flood. But the song says all of them came by the blood. So tonight, while Jerry is singing that, I want you to rejoice with him for just a few minutes. And I'm going to ask him to dismiss you after he sings this song. Brother Gerald.